This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome to it. It is Monday, so that means it is time for Money in Motion, sponsored by Klaus Financial. Our listeners can go to klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com to find answers to all your retirement questions in one place. But you can also listen to this next half hour and get answers to many of your retirement questions. And call us live anytime, 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Joining us here in studio, Kyle and Steve. Steve and Kyle, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike. What about those Cubbies?
Yeah, woohoo!
All right.
Kyle, are you a Cubs fan too?
I'm a Sox fan, but I'm rooting for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And I called the six games. I got lucky. So.
You did. You said six games. Yeah. All right, I'll jump right to it, guys. What will the World Series go to, and who's going to win?
Ooh, I think it's probably going to go seven, but I'll take the Cubs in seven.
Cubs in seven. Steve?
Yeah, I think it will be a good series and a tough series. So I don't think anybody, at least from what I've seen so far, is going to steamroll somebody.
All right, I'm going to say Cubs in five. That's what I'm going for.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. So they can win it in Wrigley. You know, that would be on Sunday night. All right. Now, I know that we have, and our regular listeners know, we do the Klaus Quiz question of the week. This week, a $25 gift card from Steak and Shake is available to the first person who calls in with the correct answer to our Klaus Quiz question of the week. And I know we have some Did You Knows this week. Who wants to start with the Did You Knows?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. These are, I guess I would call them like our frequently asked questions almost, that people always call and ask about these things. So these are the most common things that we look at when we're going into retirement. Age 62 is, again, the youngest age you can start begin receiving Social Security. Now, it is of a reduced amount from what you would call your full retirement age amount. It's typically about 70% of what that full retirement age amount would be. For most people, the full retirement age is between 66 and 67 now. It all depends on what year you were born. So, again, 62 is the earliest you can take it. 66, 67 is going to be your full retirement age. And it will actually keep growing until age 70 is when it stops getting the 8% bump that the government gives you for that. The other big one is age 65. So this is a trigger point for a lot of people in retirement because of Medicare. So obviously, if we retire before 65, we have to worry about health insurance costs, which are pretty expensive. Even though it is called the Affordable Care Act, it does get very expensive for couples, especially if both of them are under 65. So 65 is the Medicare age. And then the big one, again, is age 70 and a half. That's when we start getting to your required minimum distribution. So any money that you've put away into 401ks and IRAs, you must begin pulling money out at age 70 and a half because the IRS has let you put this money in tax deferred for all these years. And it's tax deferred, not tax free. So at 70 and a half, they want you to start pulling money out so they can get their tax dollars out of it.
Yes, we've used that term, RMDs, in previous segments, required minimum distributions.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. At 70 and a half, that's when those start.
Okay. What are the 401k contribution limits for 2016? I know that's an important thing as we're only two more months left of the year. People are looking at the end of the year if they're doing it by calendar year. What are the 401k contribution limits for 2016?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. And in reality, the 401k type contributions, whether it be a 401k, a 403b, 457, Roth 401ks, they are all on a calendar year basis because it's out of payroll. For individuals under the age of 50, they can put in up to $18,000 of their pay over the course of that 12 months. And if they're 50 and older, you can add that other term you've heard us say more than once called a catch-up provision.
Yes.
Again, it's not a condiment, but it allows you to add an additional $6,000 for a total of $24,000 into your retirement plans during that calendar year out of your payroll. The reason I point out of your payroll is that it is different than with an IRA, because IRAs, being your own individual retirement accounts, you can actually contribute all the way up until you April 15th of the following year. So up until the time you file your taxes, you can still contribute to an IRA for the previous tax year. With your 401ks, that's not a choice because, again, it has to come out of payroll. So there's a little bit of a difference there. Also, there's another one called a simple IRA type plan for self-employed or smaller employers, and they can now contribute up to $12,500 in a year. So there are some changes. For 2017, however, those contribution limits will remain the same, unchanged.
Interesting. Yeah, the deferral limit I'm reading here for employees participating in a simple plan is now $12,500. That's per year.
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about things to be aware of before you retire. I know that a lot of our listeners are approaching that age, or they even if retirement isn't for another 10, 15 years away, what sort of things should people be thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few big things that we always have our clients look at, Michael. And one of the first things is consolidation of the assets. So we talked about this a little bit last week, where if we have 401ks from previous employers and old pensions from previous employers, we just need to start getting a handle on these accounts so that we have an idea of what retirement could look like, what kind of income sources we're going to have in retirement. So again, start consolidating them with, you know, one advisor, hopefully, that can invest them according to your time horizon and risk tolerance and all that kind of stuff. So just because you're with one advisor, again, doesn't mean that all your eggs are in one basket necessarily. So you hear us talk about diversification all the time and moving assets around as far as different asset classes with the stocks and the bonds and the mutual funds and all that kind of stuff. So as long as you're with one firm that knows your risk tolerance, your objective for the money, all that kind of stuff, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not diversified just because you're with one advisor. So getting all that stuff consolidated to one person so that they have their hands around your full financial plan when it comes to retirement is big.
What are some other things, gentlemen, that people should be aware of before they retire?
Well, again, maybe the consolidation that Kyle is referring to, because many times in today's environment, you know, you may have been at 2, 3, 4 different employers, and there will be a times where you end up just leaving your 401k at your old employer. And, you know, over the course of years, you might even end up almost forgetting about it. So that's why, as Kyle's pointing out, it's important in our opinion for you to consolidate those accounts, take them over as an IRA. It still does not create any taxes or penalties if you're just changing it from your old employer's 401k plan to your own IRA. Or if you're at a current employer, you may be able to roll those old 401k dollars into your new employer plan. So there are a few options out there. But the biggest part of that is to make sure that you have your arms around everything with your professional to be able to, again, not only create that retirement plan, but help the implementation process so that you're monitoring what's occurring from an investment risk level and accumulation. And it gives you a better picture of where you will be when you do, in fact, want to retire for creating that income.
Yeah, that's really important. When people switch jobs, they might be so excited about the new job and the new pay they might be getting. But you can't forget, if you have been making, you know, contributions to 401k at the old employer, that money doesn't disappear. It's actually sitting there and it's yours. And you want to make sure that you transfer it, or you make sure that you know how to get it and you know, move it over to a new retirement plan.
Absolutely correct, Mike, because we were always talking about, you know, don't leave that money on the table, which applies to employer matches, to make sure you're contributing into your retirement plan at least equal to the match that's being provided. And that's the same thing with old 401k plans. Don't leave that money on the table and forget about where it's at.
815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Any questions at all you have for Steve or Kyle from Kloss Financial, feel free to call 815-398-9765. When we come back, we'll talk about estate planning and death taxes. This is the Michael Kuglitz Show, Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. One place, right here. 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Before the break, we were talking about things to be aware of before you retire. The consolidation of assets, if you move employers or if you, you know, move from one employer to another, and estate taxes and death taxes. What should people be aware of with that, Kyle and Steve?
Well, Mike, that is absolutely one of the most interesting points for retirement planning is when you start talking about estate taxes and death taxes. So that's, but at the same time, it is a factor in your overall planning. As we always point out, we are not attorneys. We do not write the estate planning documents, but we do realize the importance of them. But the values of an estate tax or death tax, as they call it, has changed quite dramatically over the last decade or so, even more so than that over the last 30 years. Currently, if a person passed away in 2016 and they had a larger estate, they could actually exclude $5.45 million or $5,450,000 of their assets per individual. So if you had a large estate and both spouses could actually shelter a total of $10.9 million. And individually for 2016, $5,450,000 is excluded from federal estate tax. The thing to keep in mind, though, is with these changes that have been occurring, as a reference point, in 2000, the number was $675,000. So that's a significant change. And because it's the rule right now doesn't mean it couldn't change. In fact, some states like Illinois have actually implemented their own estate tax to make up for the loss of what it was from a federal standpoint. So it is something that we feel it's important to at least be aware of and keep that in mind. Although for most people, it may not have an impact. There are various assets that can be counted when you look at your overall estate value for taxes, life insurance being one of them.
And I know that planning, you mentioned this before, but the federal estate tax exclusion amount, that means that, explain it, because that's something that I don't have a complete understanding of. I know you said it's $5,450,000. That's the exclusion amount. So what does that mean? So that means above that is excluded and below that is not?
Actually, that's a good question. It's actually the other way around.
Okay.
Below that number is excluded. Above that number, then the estate tax is upwards of 40%+.
Okay. Gosh, I wish I had that problem.
That's why I said for most people it won't affect them. But it is just part of the planning process. And, you know, if you're not in that situation, as most of us aren't, there are other areas that Kyle's going to talk about here in a moment with regard to estate planning that are still very, very important.
Yes. And Kyle, why don't you tell us about that? Estate planning as one of the things we need to be aware of before we retire.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Steve was saying, the federal estate tax doesn't really affect all that many people, but it is something to be aware of. Some more things that affect people going into retirement and when we look at estate planning are some of the most basic documents, you know, your will, your power of attorneys, things like that. So we always want our clients to have at least a will and powers of attorney set up, because if you don't, the state of Illinois has a will set up for you, and it may not say what you want it to say. So a will is one of the most important things. And it's also very important to look at this on not a regular basis, but at least, you know, once every 3-5 years and check things out, because we've had so many clients that, you know, maybe they set the will up when they have their first kid, and then now they've got two other kids, and now they have 4 grandkids because they're going into retirement. They haven't touched this will. So we need to keep an eye on this. Probably, like I said, once every 3-5 years, you want to at least pull it out and look at it and see what it says and make sure it says what it's supposed to say. And then also with the will, you'll get into your power of attorneys. There's usually 2 documents that will go with a will. There's the healthcare power of attorney, which is very important. That is who's going to make decisions for you if you're incapacitated. Because if you pass away, typically your assets will go to your spouse. But what if you're laying in the hospital bed and your spouse needs to withdraw money out of your account or something like that? Without that power of attorney, they really can't do a whole lot. And then there's also the property power of attorney, which is the one that affects us as financial advisors. That has to do with personal assets, investment accounts, things like that. So if you get, you know, again, incapacitated, laying on a hospital bed, who can access your account for you, and what can they use those funds for? So definitely the two healthcare power, or the two power of attorney documents, the healthcare and the property, and then the will is the most important one. And then we can get into trusts, and we can talk a whole program on trusts and all the different things you can do with those. So,
yeah, we have time here. This idea of when you die, somebody being the executor, or did you say executor? Is it executor of the trustee? I want to make sure I say that word correctly. But it's the executor, right?
Yes, trustee. It is executor.
Okay, executor slash trustee of your estate. I know a lot of people think of that as a blessing to leave money to the people that are around after you pass away, but sometimes that can be a burden, right?
Well, yeah, actually, more times than not, it is. And usually the default you'll see more times than not with individuals was more times than not probably list their oldest child and or one that maybe deals more in the financial areas as either their executor and or their trustee if they have a trust. And again, as you're pointing out, that can be, you know, if they have the time and understand the work and the responsibilities involved in that process, they can get through it. But for most individuals with their busy lives nowadays, they may or may not actually realize the responsibility and potential burden of being listed as the executor and or the trustee, because there are processes that are legally required and steps that you have to follow. And if, for example, you did something that you thought was perfectly correct through the process of implementing either what the will is stating or the trust is stating, but a beneficiary, because of the amount of money they received or didn't receive, all of a sudden starts causing legal issues and sues you because they get mad at you. Or they just never talk to you anymore because there's a sibling or something like that. There's a lot of complexities that can come into play. So in that process, we always suggest people to really think that one out a little bit more. And it's not always a blessing and or a automatic that the oldest or the youngest individual be chosen. When you're looking at trust, sometimes it's better to have a professional outside trustee if it's a document that's going to be in existence for many years, because that way you have somebody that is more of a third party making those decisions to implement what the trust is telling them to do, and siblings and or spouses are out of the mix.
And I know that it's not just assets sometimes you have to consider. There's also things like life insurance and pensions that you have to consider, when you're putting together things that, after your death, you're trying to take care of.
Most definitely. And that gets back to, as Kyle mentioned a minute ago, with regard to, even double-checking your beneficiaries every once in a while, especially, again, with those accounts that you may have from old employers, whether it be 401k plans or you might have had a small pension from years ago. You know, what beneficiaries do you have on them if you, were divorced, or if your spouse passed away and you're remarried, or you're single, or you had a sibling or a child that was listed at one point in time and now you don't want them to be listed anymore? It's just important to continue to occasionally every 3 to 5 years, as Kyle suggested, review those documents, the beneficiaries, your will and or your trust documents, to see who's in charge, where's your stuff go when you pass away, and is it still being directed as you want it to be?
And finally, we have time to talk about long-term care costs and getting insurance really for that. I know that that is something that can really clobber your estate after you retire.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. Again, everybody says, I'm never going to the nursing home, or, just send me off in the woods or wherever the case may be if you get to that point. But unfortunately, it's a reality. I just read a statistic not too long ago that 70% of the people over age 65 are going to need some form of long-term care in their retirement. So that's kind of an alarming statistic, that 7 in 10 people are going to need some sort of assistance when they get to older age. Now, that statistic takes into account home health care and things like that, where maybe you may not be confined to a nursing home or anything like that. But nursing homes are very expensive. The typical cost in this area is probably, you know, in that $70,000 to $90,000 a year. And if you're in a really nice one, it can easily be over $100,000. So, you know, your typical stays are 3 to 5 years. So if you're paying $80,000 a year for 3 years, that's $240,000 of your estate that can be chewed up by a nursing home. And most people didn't work 20 years to pay for the nursing home when they get into that situation. So it's definitely a very big thing that we have to look at, and it's something that can just absolutely destroy you, whatever legacy you want to leave to your kids and things like that. So obviously we are not insurance salespeople or insurance agents, so we refer all that kind of stuff out to other professionals, but it's definitely something that we have to be aware of, because the last thing you want to do is work 35 years and give it all to a nursing home if both of you end up in a nursing home, or even one of you for a 10-year stay or anything like that. That's just not a good situation, so...
We do have time right now as we wrap it up to ask the Klaus Quiz question of the week. The winner who calls 815-877-8440, that's 815-877-8440 with the correct answer, wins a $25 gift card from Steak and Shake. And the question this week is, what is the 2016 federal estate tax exemption amount? Again, what is the 2016 federal estate tax exemption amount? We said it earlier in the show. And if you call right now to 815-877-8440 and you're the first person to call with the correct answer, you win a $25 gift card from Steak and Shake. Gentlemen, we've got a minute or so left here. Is there anything else you would like to add to our listeners before we say goodbye?
Go Cubbies.
That's right. Go Cubs. And Kyle, sorry about your Vikings yesterday.
Yeah, that's all right. We knew it was coming at some point. We couldn't keep it going. So
yeah, it's the earliest I think of all the teams. But you know, now you're just in with the other 29 teams or 31 teams, whatever it is, that have lost one game.
Yep, exactly. The 72 Dolphins are popping their champagne early this year.
That's right. They're still looking really good though. Those Vikings. I would not be shocked to see them go really, really far in the playoffs.
True. I hope so.
All right. Well, that's gonna do it for this hour of the show. We'll see you at CoolGunshot. That's spelled with a K. And no matter what you do, keep that radio on.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.